Unit 135, Open Door Policy and Its Impact. Page 55, Unit 135, Open Door Policy and Its Impact. Structure 135.0, Objectives. 135.1, Introduction. 135.2, John Hay's Doctrine. 135.3, Reaction of Powers to Open Door. 135.4, Me Too Policy. 135.5, Open Door Policy in Operation. 135.6, Impact of the Open Door Policy. 135.7, Let us sum up. 135.8, Answers to Check Your Progress. 135.9, Books for Further Reading. Page 56, 134.0, Objectives. In this unit, we studied that the open door policy in China was an American idea. It was set up in contrast to the sphere of influence policy practiced by other nations. Further, we learned in this unit that in response to concerns both in the United States and in Great Britain about the integrity of China, Secretary of State John Hay issued a series of notes stating that the United States favored a policy of the open door, meaning that China should not become the sphere of influence of any single nation or small group of nation, but that China should remain open to trade and other relation to all nations. Although this policy was not endorsed by other nations, their silence was taken by Hay as concurrence, and the policy became accepted, doctrine in the USA, if not elsewhere. 135.1, Introduction. China was in political and economic disarray as the end of the 19th century approached. The giant was not recognized as a sovereign nation by the major powers, who were busy elbowing one another for trading privileges and plotting how the country could be partitioned. The imperial nations sought sphere of influence and claimed extraterritorial rights in China. The United States took Far Eastern matters more seriously after the Spanish-American War, when they came into possession of the Philippines. In the fall of 1898, President McKinley stated his desire for the creation of an open door that would allow all trading nations access to the Chinese market. The following year, Secretary of State John Hay sought a formal endorsement of the concept by circulating diplomatic notes among the major powers, enabling the secretary to the created with authorizing the open door policy. Hay's proposal called for the establishment of equal trading rights to all the nations in all parts of China and for recognition of Chinese territorial integrity. The impact of such a policy would be to put all of the imperial national on equal footing and minimize the power of those nations with existing spheres of influence. No nation formally agreed to Hay's policy. Each used the other nation's reluctance to endorse the open door as an excuse for their own inaction. An undeterred Hay simply announced that agreement had been reached. Only Russia and Japan voiced displeasure. On the surface, it appeared that the United States had advanced a reform viewpoint, but the truth was otherwise. The US had no sphere of influence in China, but had long maintained in China an active trade there. If other nations were to partition China, the United States would likely be excluded from future commercial activities. In short, Hay was simply trying to protect the prospects of American businessmen and investors. 135.2, John Hay's Doctrine. The open door policy, like the Monroe Doctrine, was a unilateral declaration on the part of the United States. Before, explaining the principles of open door policy to the interested powers, John Hay first of all explained them to his own people. In September 1899, after most of the leaseholds and other special concessions had been acquired by the European powers, Hay instructed the American ambassadors to Great Britain, Germany and Russia, and in November 1899, the American minister to Japan and the American ambassador to Italy and France to try to obtain from the governments of these countries assurances on certain points. These points constitute the main principle of the open door doctrine, which announced point number 1, that the powers having so-called spheres of influence or leased territories in any part of China should not interfere with the administration of any treaty port or any vested interest therein. Point number 2, that they should not impede the equitable administration of the Chinese customs, or in other words, the Chinese treaty tariff would apply to all merchandise shipped into such ports within these spheres of interests, no matter to what nationality it belonged, and that the duty should be collected by the Chinese government. And lastly, page 58. Point number 3. That they should not make any discrimination in charging the harbour dues of railroad rates from other countries within their sphere of influence. Or in other words, they should not exact higher dues from the vessels of other nations entering to the ports belonging to their spheres of influence, nor should they demand higher charges from the citizens belonging to other countries for using the railroads running inside their spheres of influence. By this doctrine, the United States at least made an attempt to save China economic exploitation and territorial disintegration by the predatory powers. Thus, in an indirect way, the USA assisted in the maintenance of Chinese territorial and administrative integrity. 135.3 Reaction of Powers to Open Door. There appears to be nothing novel in this doctrine, but in actual practice, what USA wanted was that special interest acquired by Western nations should be nullified. If USA did not get the same concessions within these nations, if USA did not get the same concessions which these nations had already got, this doctrine was bound to attract Britain, which then had maximum trade in China, and due to shrinking of sphere of influence, her trade was bound to suffer at one stage or the other. Similarly, all European countries were broadly agreeable to these terms because these could get vaster areas for their trade and tariff. But this was no acceptable to Russia, because the clauses dealing with railway charges and railroad tariff were not acceptable to her, and were to be great advantage. In this way, USA had created a particular and peculiar situation for the Western imperialist powers. In the beginning of the 19th century, China was a closed nation. She suffered from superiority complex. European nations then tried to pierce into China. Page 59. These were always prepared to risk a power to get into China. These were always prepared to risk a war to get into China on one pretext or the other. As the century rolled on, China laid exposed before the nations of the world. Now, the problem was how to close this country to other nations. Thus, during this period, the whole situation had altogether changed. In the beginning, China wanted to close door, but now European powers wished to close doors of China for other nations. The implications of this doctrine in plain and simple language were that USA wanted that European powers should open doors to her in the territory under their sphere of influence and also in their leased territories. 135.4 Me Too Policy. By the open door policy, she merely emphasized that she too was interested in the vast market of China and was a claimant for equal facilities in trade and enterprise there. But without belittling Hay's doctrine, it may be said that it was inadequate to protect either immediate American commercial interest or the historic American principle of equal opportunity. In this connection, however, one may recall the words of Longer that, quote start, in the Far East, the powers were dealing with the fate of an empire of upward of 300 million souls, and no less than five major states were disputing the spoils. Quote end. The open door doctrine, though accepted by most of the powers, did not receive anything approaching international guarantee from them, promising the territorial or administrative integrity of China. After becoming the sponsor of the policy, the USA, however, began to participate more actively in the affairs of the Far East in general, and China in particular. This American interest in China did give the latter some external support in her fight for self-preservation. The open-door policy, to a great extent, saved China from immediate dismemberment. Though, in one sense, it was a guarantee of Chinese integrity on the one hand, but it was nothing better than a scheme for the exploitation of China through international cooperation. Though this policy regulated the game which was played out by the powers, it did not confer any immediate commercial benefit on China. Page 60. In spite of expressions of this policy, most of the powers continued to enlarge their advance and pressed for new concessions. The spheres were still there and they were designed to give preferential treatment in railroad, mining, and investment concessions. The open door was an attempt to revive the principle of international cooperation in commerce as was existent in China before the scrabble for concessions. China's exploitation should be the common concern and should be commonly executed in a spirit of cooperation rather than confrontation. 135.5 Open Door Policy in Operation. In theory, open door policy was accepted by all the European nations except Russia. But what actually happened was that after the enunciation of doctrine, USA began to take more and more interest in China. This was, in spirit, opposed to the doctrine, which did not accept in principle increase in the sphere of influence in China. But for some time, China got a nation which was interested. in preserving her integrity from the aggressive designs of European nations. In this way, immediate dismembership of that country was checked. One, however, finds that the countries which accepted the doctrine did not sincerely implement that these went on demanding more and more rights and concessions from China. Not only this, but no steps were taken for conferring commercial benefits over China. In addition to this, her international exploitation by mutual cooperation of European powers continued unabated. Thus, the doctrine did not materially benefit China. None of the powers committed itself to this pronouncement, that its acceptance was contingent on that of the other. He, nevertheless, declared on March 20, 1900, that their big powers accent was final and definite. Only Japan challenged the American interpretation. Later, during the Boxer Rebellion, when the activities of the powers appeared to threaten the open door principle, USA made a second declaration on July 3, 1900, extending its scope to include the preservation of Chinese territorial and administrative entity. Being merely a statement of intention, it did not solicit an answer from the other powers. Page 61. 135.6 Impact of the Open Door Policy. After sponsoring the policy of Open Door, the United States became more and more active in the Far Eastern politics. Hay's policy no doubt delayed the disintegration in China, but it could not save her from general exploitation by the imperialist powers, who now cooperated with each other to strengthen their stand, the powers claimed for further concessions. Hayes' policy of open door was nearly doomed with the outbreak of the Boxer Uprising in 1900. The Boxer movement was anti-foreign and it aimed at turning out the foreign devils and preserving China for the Chinese. The United States joined with other powers in sending reinforcements. To crush the Boxers. When the revolt was put down, the other powers insisted on the withdrawal of the foreign troops and limited the demand on China to a war indemnity. It is stated that Hay held on the grim death to the open door. Among the different groups that influenced American policy towards China was perhaps more important than the American missionaries. After 1900, the quality of all missionaries sent to China was greatly improved, and the approach to missionary work seems to have also changed. Now, great emphasis was laid on educational and medical work, and the schools and hospitals thus established were among the best China ever had. These missionaries, like the early Jesuits, were scholars and teachers as well as evangelists. With tact and understanding, they won respect and admiration from the Chinese, among whom they lived. As the Chinese admired the missionaries, they also admired the country from which the missionaries came. For 50 years, no foreign country was more popular in China than the United States. The missionaries, on their part, were equally enthusiastic about the Chinese and their culture, and their optimistic reports to their home churches unquestionably affected the attitude of Americans at home. Through the home churches, the influence of the missionaries was eventually felt in the State Department and in Congress. To conclude, the open door was a declaration of principles rather than a formal policy of USA, which had neither the will nor the power to enforce it militarily. Strongly, the partition of China tapered off after the declaration of open door policy, not so much because they feared rivalry and conflict among themselves. The resultant equilibrium saved Manchu Empire from an immediate collapse. Page 62, 135.7. Let us sum up. In this unit, we have outlined the chief features of the open door policy. When other European countries were getting concessions in China, USA was busy in war in Spain. As soon as she was free, she wanted to protest her interest in China and gave the doctrine of open door. By this doctrine, America suggested that every nation should have equal opportunity in Chinese markets. It was suggested that areas of influence of each nation will be respected. It was also suggested that custom dues of China will be guaranteed. Further, we learned in this unit that all European countries except Russia agreed to this doctrine. The greatest implication was that European nations wanted to close China on other nations. But China was not going to be materially benefited by the policy. There was no moral flavor in the policy because USA wanted markets of China for her own use and nothing beyond that. In operation, this policy checked disintegration of China for the time being, but exploitation of China on the whole continued. 135.8 Answers to check your progress. 1. Answer the following in six sentences each. First, Hayes doctrine. Second, response of powers to the open door. Third, Japan's attitude towards open door. Fourth, impact of the open door policy. 2. Answer the following in 20 lines each. First, analyze the aims of the policy of Open Door. Second, the Open Door policy did not mean cessation of imperialists, the demand on China. Discuss. Page 63. 135.9. Books for further reading. First, author S.L. Roy. Title, A Short History of the Far East. Second, R.S. Gupta. Title, History of Modern China. Third, author Bland and Backhouse. Title, China Under the Empress Dowager. S. Mir Samiullah.